Friends, welcome to the Now's the Time podcast. I'm Caleb Succo, and with me in the studio today is...
Naomi.
And by studio, what I mean is my bedroom. And we're just sitting here in front of the computer. And so today we are going to be talking about MK Life. But before we get started with that, well, let's do a little intro music. I already said, this is the Now's the Time podcast. It is, season 3. Episode 4, and before we get into the interview part, let me just share with you that we are coming from Odessa, Ukraine, live from, this is pre-recorded, but we are coming to you from Odessa, Ukraine, where we serve as missionaries here, preaching the gospel in churches in Ukraine, and sometimes even out of Ukraine. Just 2 weeks ago, I was in Budapest, Hungary, helping to teach New Testament class, chronological teaching through the New Testament. But most of our ministry is focused here in Ukraine, helping churches to effectively evangelize, share the gospel, and disciple their people to become like Christ. And so that's kind of the focus of our ministry here. And this podcast, I usually talk about a little bit about what's going on in ministry and also try and share with you things that would encourage you to be a worshiper of Christ. And by worshiper of Christ, I don't just mean worshiping in song and worshiping, in the formal sense, which is wonderful and needs to be done, but I mean worshiping Him by living a life that pleases Him, worshiping Him by sharing about Him with others, and worshiping Him by understanding who He is and living for Him. And that, friends, I believe is what we are called to do. So let me just give you a quick ministry update, and then we will get to Naomi. And I'm really interested. She was asking me what questions I'm going to ask her in this interview. And I didn't really tell her, except that I want to get her perspective on missionary kid life. And so I'm kind of interested to see what she will share with us, and I hope you are too. Well, let's see. As far as ministry news goes, I already shared with you that I was in Budapest, Hungary 2 weeks ago and shared was teaching with our team in our New Testament course called Roots of Faith, and we taught through the entire New Testament, 50 lessons. That was a great experience, and we had a number of students from different countries. Most of them were missionaries, and so that is, the chronological approach is something that we also use in our what we call good soil materials in the seminars that we teach in local churches here in Ukraine. And in fact, and we use that in evangelistic approach as well. The books that we use, we have The Story of Hope, which is in Russian, and it takes 20 stories from the Old Testament and 20 stories from the New Testament. And so we use that material in teaching our seminars in local churches tomorrow. In fact, there's going to be a seminar in Konyiv, in the city of Konyiv. And we help believers to see how they can actually use this chronological approach in sharing the gospel. And that's one of the main things that we do in our seminars. Last year we had, I think, 17 seminars. This year it looks like we're going to have more, probably 25 seminars in 25 different churches all over Ukraine. So we really appreciate your prayers for those. Like I said, tomorrow, seminar in Konyiv. But coming up, we've got a number of big events coming up, and just my schedule is just pretty full for the next couple of months. But coming up, we have, I'm trying to think of my calendar here in my head. We've got a trip to Eastern Ukraine coming up the 14th through the 16th of March. So I'd really appreciate your prayers for. We're going to be going there with a retired military. He's a retired military chaplain who is going to be teaching on ministering to people who have PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. So it's going to be a three-day conference. We're bringing across the front lines of the war a number of people who are in the separatist-controlled area of Ukraine. And these are people that often have to work with people who've experienced war and have lost loved ones because of the war. And so we're going to be talking about how we can effectively minister to them, share Christ with them, and be sensitive to their needs after going through these very stressful situations that tend to wreak havoc on their emotions and just their state of being. And so appreciate your prayers for that seminar coming up in March. Also in March, we're doing a special seminar for youth at our church, and that is going to be on the 18th of March, and I'm going to be one of the main speakers there, and it's going to be on sexual purity. And so pray for me as I get ready for that, and as we get ready to have a number of other pastors who are going to be taking part in that. And then later in March, we have a bigger conference going on the 25th of March, which is going to be something we call, in Russian, it's called Mission in the Family. And what we're really talking about is how to share the gospel with your family, like with your children, with your spouse, with your parents, with those who are very close to us, which sometimes can honestly be the hardest ones to share the gospel with, because they know us and they know our problems and they don't want to hear the gospel from us. And so we have a number of good speakers lined up for that. I'm also going to be one of the main speakers there. And also we're going to be giving out one of Paul Washer's books. Paul Washer has written a series of three books on the gospel. And I'm trying to remember what this one's called in Russian that we're giving to the conference participants there. I think it's called something about preaching the gospel and true repentance or something like that. But a really solid book when it comes to understanding the true nature of salvation and what it means to preach the gospel. And we just want to make sure that is solid in the minds and hearts of our people as they think about how to share the gospel with their family. And I'm going to be speaking specifically on sharing the gospel with your spouse. Now, one other thing in relation to that, I want to mention that I do have up on our website two articles I want to point your attention to. And it's actually kind of it's a part one and a part two. And it's called My Wife Doesn't Want to Go to Church Anymore. And I wrote this article to men who are struggling in marriage with a wife who's really not interested in spiritual things. Because I mean, unfortunately, I've just had the experience of counseling with a number of men with that situation, and I just decided to ride on that. So check those articles out. I'll put a link in the show notes to those two articles. The second one is actually a fairly lengthy article, but I think that you'll find some good content in there that may be helpful to you in your marriage. And if you're a woman, you know, I think you'll find things that are helpful there too, just as far as gospel principles that need to be in your marriage. If you're a man, I think you'll definitely find them helpful, or maybe they might be something that you want to share with someone also. So those will be linked up in the show notes to this episode of the podcast on sukofamily.org. Okay, let's get to the interview. So let me start by just having Naomi introduce herself.
Okay, well, my name is Naomi Suko. I'm 17 years old. I'm in 12th grade. And, yeah.
Okay, so you're 17 in 12th grade. So this, friends, is kind of monumental for Christina and I because you're finishing your last year of high school, last year of homeschool. And are you excited about that?
Well, you didn't have to point out that I'm homeschooled. But that's okay.
Well, I mean, that's might be another question that our inquisitive listeners would want to know.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So are you excited about finishing homeschool and moving on?
Yeah, I'm very excited, and I think I'll be relieved. Well, I am relieved that I'm already almost done.
Okay, so let's talk about missionary life. How old were you when you moved to Ukraine?
Let's see. I think I just turned 8 years old when we moved here.
So that was just, this summer will be 10 years ago, right? So
yeah.
You spent the most part of the last 10 years in Ukraine, which is more than half your life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you're 17, you'll be 18 this summer. What, like when you moved to Ukraine, what were some of the things that maybe like were a big shock to you? I don't know. Was anything a big shock to you?
Well, one of the biggest shocks was that probably having to almost immediately enter a Ukrainian school. That was a bit of a plunge.
Yeah, and just so that you know, when we moved to Ukraine, that was one of the things. Well, Naomi was, you were 8. You just turned 8, so you were in
third grade.
And so we were just like, well, she needs to learn a language. So we just put her into Ukrainian school. And before that, how much Ukrainian did you know?
I don't think I knew any, actually, at all.
You knew a little bit of Russian, though, right?
Yeah, I knew a little bit of Russian.
So explain to them, like why are schools in Ukrainian, and like the difference like between Russian and Ukrainian, and how that all works.
Why are there different schools, like Russian schools and Ukrainian schools? I'm actually not sure, but like right down the street from us, there's a Russian school, and then directly opposite of it, there's a Ukrainian school. So I guess you have the freedom of choice there for whichever education you want to get, because in a Russian school, they would have all of your subjects in Russian except for Ukrainian class. And then in Ukrainian schools, it's the opposite, where you have all your subjects in Ukrainian except for Russian class.
And what about the difference in the languages?
I'd say there are a lot of similar words, and the alphabet is almost the same, but apparently Ukrainian is more like Polish, I guess, from what I know, and I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay, so how well do you know Ukrainian now?
I can understand it when people are talking to me, and I can communicate if I think about it really well, but it's not very fast communication.
Okay, can I quiz you on your Ukrainian language?
How are you going to do that?
I'll just ask you like a word to see if you know what it is in Ukrainian.
Okay.
Okay. How would you say pencil in Ukrainian?
Olivet.
How would you say pencil in Russian?
Карандаш.
Oh, that's really different, isn't it?
Yeah.
So say those two again so the listeners can hear. Say it first in Ukrainian and then say it in Russian.
Okay. Olivet, карандаш.
Okay, that's like really different, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
How would you say dog in Ukrainian?
Собака.
Russian?
Собака.
Well, that's pretty similar.
Yeah.
What about cat?
Кот. Кит. Кит. In Ukrainian, it's кит. In Russian, it's кот.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay, how would you say good morning in Ukrainian?
Добрий ранок.
Russian?
Доброе утро.
Yeah, so there's some similarities there, you can see, but there are different. So anyway, so we threw you into Ukrainian school, and you didn't know like a single word of Ukrainian, but you did know some Russian. So was that a problem for you? Tell me how that worked out.
Well, at first, I remember the first day, I sat in the back of the class, and while the rest of the kids were just having their normal lesson, and the teacher gave me an azbuka, or a bukvar, and that's basically just a book with the letters of the alphabet. And so I was sitting there trying to figure it out. And I think actually before I entered the school, Mama had taught me how to read in Russian a little bit, so I could kind of figure out how to sound out the letters. But other than that, I didn't know anything. Like the first day, I was just sitting in the back of the class reading that book with huge letters on each page. So, but somehow, oh yeah, and for each test, like I would have to copy off the girl next to me because I had no idea what was going on. But I don't even know how I managed to learn the language that fast, but by the next year, I could do stuff on my own.
Well, see, the thing is that at that age, your brain is pretty much empty. So there's
true.
Lots of room for language to come in. Or however, yeah. So, yeah, but Naomi, you did learn the language very fast, and that was great, even though it was kind of like a, you know, it's kind of like little teeny babies, you can throw them in the pool and they'll swim automatically. Babies kind of like
I
that.
I did not know that babies can do that, but yeah, I guess that's true.
Oh, I heard they can do that. I don't know, maybe it's not true. So, you went 2 years to Ukrainian school, and then we switched over to homeschool, and now you're almost done with homeschool. Okay, but let's move on from schooling. Okay, let's just talk about more like about what's going on in your life right now. Give the listeners like a little glimpse of maybe some of the activities that you do beyond homeschooling.
Okay, well, let's see. I take tennis lessons, and twice a week for an hour, I go to tennis to the courts with my sisters, and I really enjoy that, so that's kind of my sports section. And then for church-related things, I am a teacher at an English club that are church-organized, and that's every Saturday from 2:30 to 4:30. We study English with kids, read books with them, and practice their English. And then I'm also a Sunday school teacher, and actually this Sunday I'm going to be leading a lesson. So yeah, those are some of my ministries.
What about, you also have like some English students, right?
Oh, yeah, actually, I've been taking a little break from teaching English outside of English club, but I do have two students that I'm currently tutoring to that are from our church.
What would you see as like maybe some of the main differences between the church here in Ukraine and your experience with churches in America?
Well, there were lots of different types of churches I've experienced in America, and that's actually really hard. But I can tell you like the differences between the American youth groups, because that's kind of narrow down. But American youth groups tend to be more like fun oriented, to kind of get you really like active and interested. And I feel like Ukrainian youth groups are more sober and serious for some reason. I'm not sure. Maybe that's just me, but I've noticed that a lot. Like, we went to one youth group in America, and they had really loud dance music playing at the beginning when we got there, and it was like, and we like came into it. It was in a gym, I think, which was interesting. That was definitely a new experience for me. And then at our youth group, like, everything is usually pretty quiet. We sit around a table, have tea, and listen to a sermon. I prefer the quieter version because I feel like I can focus better on what's being said.
Do you feel like you're more American or Ukrainian?
Oh, well, it depends on where I am, because when I'm in America, I don't feel very American, but when I'm in Ukraine, I don't feel very Ukrainian. Although, I'd have to say I feel more Ukrainian in Ukraine than I feel American in America. So I'd say I do feel more Ukrainian.
Okay, that's kind of interesting. Well, why don't you tell a little bit, you're talking about youth group, tell a little bit about some of the like summer ministries that you've been involved in that the youth group does over the summer.
Yeah, our youth group is actually really active in orphanage ministries and in camp ministries. So about orphanage ministries, we go each summer to two different orphanages. One is called Kilia and the other one is called Tarutina. Well, that's not what they're called. That's actually the towns that they're located in. Kilia is a pretty big orphanage, and that's kind of the one we focus most of our attention on. I'm not exactly sure how many kids are there, but around, I'd say probably, well, there's definitely more than 100 kids there. So we basically set up a camp type program for them, like a day camp program, and play around with them, tell them Bible stories, memorize Bible verses with them, do crafts, bake. This last summer we were there for, I think it was 4 days, and then in the smaller orphanage, the Rutina, we were there for, I think it was a day and a half, doing orphanage ministries. And then also for just the camp ministries, our church really enjoys setting up camps for kids. Like, we usually have one, a winter day camp, there's a summer day camp, and then there's just a summer actually, like, camping camp where you're out in the woods, and several of those. So I haven't really been involved in those as much as the orphanage ones, because I kind of like to keep my, I don't know, the orphanage ones seem, that's kind of what I enjoy more.
Well, like for people that haven't been to these orphanages, maybe you can kind of give a little description of like how they're run, like what they're like, because I think it might be hard for people to kind of understand what you're talking about when you just talk about orphanages.
Are there orphanages in America?
I don't think so. I think everything is
Foster system?
foster, yeah, foster system.
Oh, okay. Well, I can only say from the two that I've been to, one is actually, I don't think they call it an orphanage because it's sort of a midway point where before the kids get taken either to an orphanage or to a home. So they're supposed to stay there for a limited amount of time, but I think it was maximum 9 months they're supposed to stay there. But the thing is, they don't really follow that policy because I've been going there for, let's see, this was the second summer, and there have been kids that were there for about 3 years. So I'm talking about the smaller one. But then Kilia, which is the bigger orphanage, kids can stay there for almost their whole lives, I guess. And the school is connected to the orphanage. I'd say it was pretty run down. We actually built a playground for them when we were there, which they really, really enjoyed that. And I did notice that they had their own garden where they grew vegetables, and lots of the older kids were working on the garden, which was nice. But yeah, it's a bit run down. The inside is definitely looking like it's coming from, well, it looks like it was built during the Soviet Union. There hasn't been very much remodeling done on it for sure. And yeah, it needs some work.
What is one of your best or most favorite memories from your life over the past 10 years in Ukraine?
That's a really hard question.
I mean, do you have any good memories here?
Yes, of course I
I will
do.
like pick one of them. Karpate.
Yeah, Karpaty is really good. The Carpathian Mountains, I really enjoy going there. But I'd have to say probably one of my favorites is going to the orphanages. That's probably the highlight of my year or summer. I'm really looking forward to doing it this year. In fact, I'm actually staying longer in Ukraine and not going back with you guys to America in June because I wanted to get the chance to go to the orphanages this summer.
Okay, so then that also brings me to the question, what are your future plans? What are you thinking about for you're graduating from high school this year, and well, you just said that you're gonna stay and gonna do some orphanage ministry and stuff. What about after that? Do you have any plans, ideas? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I have some ideas. I think that after that summer, or this upcoming summer, I'm going to come back to America and probably get my driver's license and do some college courses. I want to go to, what was that in England?
Now that you say, I can't think of it.
Capernaway?
Capernaum, yeah, Capernaum.
Yeah, I wanted to go to the Capernaway Bible School. Is it called the Bible School?
Think so.
Okay, well, for the 1 year program, that would be really interesting for me. And then after that, I'm really not sure, but I would prefer to stay or to live in Ukraine after that and continue my ministry here. Maybe teach English more, as a job. And yeah, that's what I hope for.
Okay, that sounds good. All right, what else do you want to share about life? What do you want people who are listening to this podcast to know about life in Ukraine? And I'm not sh I think probably 90 to 95% of the people that listen probably have not been to Ukraine. Although that's not a scientific number by any means, but for somebody that hasn't been to Ukraine, what are some things that you think you would really want them to know about Ukraine? Or maybe some false impressions that you think they might have that you want to correct?
Actually, I looked up a map of countries by stereotypes. And Ukraine was either, I think it was like just a big radioactivity sign, or there's something else.
Either it's radioactivity, or it's fighting and machine guns and bombs falling, right?
Yeah. And it's not the Soviet Union anymore. So, I mean, sometimes, I mean, there's definitely places in town where it still looks like it. But it's not as scary and bleak as people probably think it is. There's big sunflower fields. Well, okay, not right now. They're not in bloom. But in late summer, there's big sunflower fields. And there's nice forests, mountains. We live on the Black Sea, which is really beautiful, even though we don't get to go there very often.
I was there today, actually.
Oh, I didn't even know that. But yeah, that's something I enjoy. So it's, I guess it's not as bleak or sad as it seems. So yeah, a nice tourist location.
Yeah, so if you want to come on a vacation, actually, I would add to that too, to say that it, as long as you're not in the war zone, you're not like somewhere out in like some village or something, if you're in a major city like Odessa or Kyiv or Lviv or something, I mean, it's very nice. We have all of the technology that you would expect. I mean, I used Uber today to go downtown to go to the police.
Did that just get installed like a few days ago?
Actually, a couple of weeks ago. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have Uber here now. And so it's, you can pay like your bills online or like through your phone and stuff. Actually, when I go to the store, I usually just pay with my phone with through Apple Pay and stuff like that. So we do, it is the 21st century here for sure. Okay. All right. And last question for you, what kind of prayer requests, how can people pray for you? Maybe pray for, you know, MKs or the kids in our family. What kind of prayer requests do you have?
Let's see. Probably the first one would be that I finish my last school year well, or I guess I should say graduate, that I graduate successfully. And for my Sunday school ministry, because that is a little bit stressful at times, I'm also going to ask you to pray for Kilia Orphanage, because there are a lot of kids there who are, that orphanage in itself definitely struggles financially. So you can pray for the kids in Kilia Orphanage too.
Is that it? Anything else?
I think that's it for now.
Okay. Any final words for our listeners?
Thanks for listening to what I have to say.
All right, friends, there you have it. Interview with Naomi Suko, MK, here in Odessa, Ukraine, for the past 10 years. We do appreciate your prayers and your support. You can always go to sukofamily.org and read the latest articles, check up on the news. If you want to sign up for our email news, you can do that on the site right there. And I do try, although I guess I didn't do it last week, but I try about once a week or so to send out a little news items, ways that you can be praying. We'll put Naomi's prayer request on there too. And we are glad that you have been listening. If you want to check it out on iTunes, you can find the link in the show notes. Would love to have you leave a review or just give it a star rating, a 5-star rating, hopefully. And that helps the podcast to get out to other people. So till next time, friends, blessings to you, and keep those MKs in your prayers.